Blog Talk Radio.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Harry, I'm a little man. It's quite a snow. I'm everywhere that Harry went, the
man
was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
One minute after the hour, it is Reese on the radio right here. On Friday, the end of your week, March the 16th, 2012, we are live. We are, you know, we're ready to, I don't know, we're ready to make the weekend happen. I'm going to make the weekend happen in such a way, I'm trusting that I will be getting into trouble this weekend. I will not be getting arrested, but I will be getting into trouble. It's Reese on the radio right here on Blog Talk Radio. The number's 347-308-8701. Major announcement coming up in the next half hour. It's a programming note. There are going to be some changes made to Reese on the radio, and they're good changes for us, and I think they're good changes for you. And for good reason, these changes had to be made. I just wanted to make a couple of... I wanted to revamp the show, so to speak, which is why I'm doing it. So we'll explain that. We'll break it down to you. We'll talk about all of that. There's so much going on in the world today that it's only important that I break them down to you as much as we can. Let me just make some very important notes. One, we'll be, of course, I'll be at the White House tomorrow. I will be right there. I will be at the White House Mall. I'll be at the mall. I will be walking around the White House. I will be interviewing people. I will have audio for you. I'm going to be, of course, talking to some people there. Getting some information. Talking about certain things. I'll be asking questions about gas prices. I'll be asking questions about the war on women. And I will have that audio from, tourists and people who will be out there talking just to get their take on some of the topics of the day. One of the topics I definitely will be talking about is this verdict out of Rutgers University. Some of you may know this story, or have at least followed this story. To give you a really, really true breakdown of this story, and then I can respond to what it is that I think about it. A New Jersey jury found former Rutgers student Durham Robbie guilty on all counts for using a webcam to spy on his roommate, Tyler Clemente, having a gay sexual encounter in 2010. Robbie's 20 years old and was convicted of invasion of privacy, bias intimidation, witness tampering, and hindering arrest stemming from his role in activating the webcam to peek at Tyler Clemente's date with a man in the dorm room on September 19, 2010. Ravi was also convicted of encouraging others to spy during a second date on September 21st of that same year, of course, and intimidating Clemente for being gay. Ravi was found not guilty, on some subparts of the 15 counts of bias intimidation, attempted invasion of privacy, and attempted bias intimidation, but needed only to be found guilty on one part of each count to be convicted. The convictions carry a possible sentence of 5 to 10 years in prison. Because Ravi is a citizen of India and is in the U.S. on a green card, he could be deported following his sentencing. The U.S. deports most criminals convicted of felonies, with the exception of thefts of the amounts of under $10,000. Clemente's mother, who sat with her husband and sons in the front row for the duration of the three-week trial, broke down in tears at the first guilty verdict. Clemente's father took notes throughout the reading of the verdicts. Ravi's attorney, his name's Stephen Altman, put his arm around Ravi's shoulder shortly before the verdict. Ravi showed little reaction as the jury read out the verdicts of his crimes. Clemente's cause gained national attention. Sorry, that was totally inappropriate. Clemente's case gained national attention when he committed suicide jumping off the George Washington Bridge just out at Fort Lee, New Jersey. I live there. I can walk to the George Washington Bridge. I know it well. I've walked across the George Washington Bridge. And when I tell you that walking across that bridge is so humbling, especially being a guy who's afraid of heights, that this kid, Tyler Clemente, would walk over that bridge and take his own life. I mean, it had to be thought out for him to commit such an act. So trust me when I tell you, having crossed it, it's very relevant to this. Anyway, Clemente's case gained national attention when he committed suicide by jumping off the George Washington Bridge on September 22, 2010. Ravi is not charged in connection with Clemente's death. Throughout the trial, Middlesex County Prosecutor Julie McClure tried to build a case that Ravi spied on Clemente's date because his roommate was gay and told his friends and Twitter followers to also spy on Clemente, describing his actions as an anti-gay hate crime. She argued that Clemente was clearly made uncomfortable by Ravi's action, evidenced in Clemente's request for a room change that he submitted in Rutgers on September 22nd. September 21st, the day before. 3 weeks into the semester, and Clemente finds out that his sexual orientation has been broadcast to the defendant's Twitter followers. His private sexual activities have been exposed. What do you think he's thinking? Well, nobody can know what he's thinking, so that's speculative at best. If Molly saw it, did Casey see it? Did people in the hall see it? Did people in Davidson see it? I guess that's the dorm. You don't know. You don't think that he was intimidated by learning that information, fearful, embarrassed? He'd been exposed. Robbie's defense attorney, Steve Altman, dismissed suggestions that his client was anti-gay or targeting Clemente. He claimed that Ravi was curious and immature, but not malicious, when he decided to activate the webcam on September 19th. Why we're here is because on September 19th and September 21st, 2010, an 18-year-old boy, a kid, a college freshman, had an experience, had an encounter that he wasn't ready for. Immaturely, he reacted to what he saw on the screen. Altman argued that Ravi only activated the webcam to keep an eye on his belongings while an older, creepy stranger was in the room. Wow, he shouldn't have made that point. And that Ravi's messages on Twitter to his friends about the spying was just immature joking. Now, again, as aforementioned, Ravi could face 5 to 10 years in prison for what it is that they're calling bias intimidation. Now, look, the verdict is wrong. The charge is wrong. But what this does is set a precedent. And it is a bad one. You see, what I just read there, the prosecutor says to everyone there, and they're feeding off what people think is commonplace, but really isn't. See, here's a very important factor of this that people ignore. The prosecutor in this case says that Tyler Clemente was exposed, and that's what made him react as far as taking his own life. Who saw it? Did he see it? Did they see it? Did this one see it? Did that one see it? But we're talking about college campuses here, where minorities are built up, are promoted. Aren't they? Alternative lifestyles. Come on, they have these cases or these classes where they teach cultural diversity. Homosexuality is raved about on these campuses. We did a story a couple of weeks ago about how Planned Parenthood is going into college campuses and they're handing out fisting devices, plastics, polyurethane, whatever they're using. There are books that are teaching homosexuality is like being left-handed. But in making a case against Mr. Ravi here, they're talking about how Tyler Clemente was intimidated. In college? In Jersey? Right near New York? What would be considered? I mean, Rutgers University? You're going to tell me that there isn't a gay atmosphere in New Jersey? There's not a gay community at Rutgers? What? All these liberal elites at these schools? Those schools aren't embracing and celebrating homosexuality the same way that they are damning Christianity? Promoting minorities, minority speech, cultural activities, cultural learning centers? To hell with traditionalism? Pro-abortionists at Rutgers? Really? Tyler Clemente was alone? He didn't have a gay outlet at Rutgers? JC, see if we can find some statistics on homosexuals at Rutgers University. Let's find out the gay population at Rutgers University. Let's see if it's larger or smaller than the black community or the Latino community or the Asian community at Rutgers University. Let's find out the numbers. Because, see, I'd have gone there as a defense attorney. Sure, what he did was childish. The man's from India. Homosexuality, that's not the norm where he's from. Guy's got a green card. He's not an American citizen. He doesn't know that in America, homosexuality is celebrated from border to border. Not in flyover country. But L.A. and New York. And Boston. Chicago. Detroit. Not homosexuality. That's cool. Tyler Clemente took a walk to the George Washington Bridge. And again, I'm not... You know, Tyler Clemente made his decision. I know somebody's got to be posted with blame here. I know somebody has to have blame here. That's the way that this country works. It's an Alinsky tactic. We freeze, isolate, demonize. That's where Mr. Ravi is here. That's what the prosecutor has done. They've isolated this young man as being a criminal against homosexuals. It's an isolation tactic. And this is where it is. Bias intimidation. Folks, do you understand what that falls under? Do you understand what bias intimidation means? That means if I don't like something about you, and I say, you know, you and your such and such, whatever the group may be, get your such and such away from me, or I'm going to start kicking asses. That's bias intimidation. It skirts the law, doesn't it? That's what bias intimidation means. You have to break down the law here. So to protect homosexuals, you have this kind of hate crime legislation. It's nitpicking. Guy looks at his video camera and says, whoa, what the hell is Tyler? Whoa. He brought a guy. I can't deal with that. Whoa. And then he feels like he wants to joke about it. And he's sitting up there with an Asian girl. Now, that's the part that baffles me. Ravi is an Indian guy. His cohort is an Asian girl. Minority, minority, minority.
Let me ask you this, Reese.
Go for it.
Don't you agree that if you're going to come in this country, go to school, that anywhere that you're going to be, you're going to not have to learn the customs, learn the way of life in that country, especially in a foreign land such as America from India? I'm sure that at some point in his life, although it's probably forbidden in that country, but I'm sure he's been exposed to it.
Yeah, but you know what?
I think he should have known enough then to broadcast it.
Okay. Doing something like that in college, you've seen worse. I mean, I can think of hundreds of college movies. I mean, take American Pie, for instance. You know? I mean, The movie American Pie, which is one of those sort of teen classics, what does the lead character in the movie do? He has a foreign exchange student, and he puts a webcam up in her bedroom. You know, this isn't, you know, I mean, this isn't new. This is what kids do. But it is a different world from before. Now, anything you do can become a felony. I mean, people laughed at the scene in American Pie. But now, if you were to see that movie today, there would be people who were outraged. If American Pie came out today, and that scene was in the movie, there would be groups out there that would say that you shouldn't put that idea in kids' heads. This is a kid who's a freshman at Rutgers University, JC. He's a freshman. He doesn't know any better. Kid's a moron at best. And he did a moronic thing. It's to be expected from kids. But now, you see, there's no victim in this young man going to jail for 5 to 10 years. There's no victim in that. You want to know why? Because what overshadows the fact that this kid came into the country, has a green card, and is going to be deported, what overshadows all that is that a gay man died. Even the article I just read, oh, he was found in no wrongdoing in Tyler Clemente's death. It goes without saying, Tyler Clemente killed himself. But to suggest it is bringing up the whole point that there are going to be people out there in a court of public opinion who are saying, well, we think he should be responsible for the death. What he did caused him to kill himself, so he should be held responsible in some way. That's the reason why the reporter brings it up. Now, the reporter will tell you, well, we're just mentioning the fact that he wasn't charged with that. He was never charged with it. He can't be charged with it. There's no indictment for the death of Tyler Clemente by this young man. So it's a non-starter to even bring it up. Making a wise investment.
Well, I got to tell
you. Watching Wheel of Fortune. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I got to tell you. Okay, now I wasn't able to find any hard statistics with regards to the number of LGBT students in Rutgers. However, on the Gay Campus Pride Finder. And a score of 5 stars, it gets a 4 out of 5 stars of being
so,
gay-friendly.
So you're saying gay tolerance at Rutgers University gets 4.5 stars?
Right.
Out of 5?
Right. Of a campus of 11,500.
How many? A campus of how many?
11,500.
That's a lot. So a campus of 11,500, 4.5 stars out of 5 being a gay-friendly campus. Now, how did I know?
That's 4 stars. 4 stars.
Oh, sorry. 4 stars out of 5.
I don't know. Right, in a medium city of what they consider 100,000 to 500,000 people.
Again, why do I know?
They consider that a medium city.
Because it's New Jersey. Because it's New Jersey. It's right next door to New York. This isn't Idaho. This is
mayors
New Jersey.
And governors.
Pardon? That's right. You had May Governor McGreevy. So that's bogus that Tyler Clemente didn't have an outlet. It's bogus.
Isn't it Chris Christie?
Say again?
Chris
Did you
Christie?
Ask if Chris Christie was gay? No. No, he's not gay. That's just sick.
Oh, well, I thought I heard somewhere.
No, he's not gay.
Okay. I could be wrong.
No, he's not. You're incredibly wrong. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. We'll get into some more news. George Clooney arrested. Whole bunch of other stuff going on in the news today. We'll be right back at Trees on the Radio. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Trees on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how
you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare. ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on ReSun Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we're back 28 minutes after the hour. On this Friday, March the 16th, 2012. End of the week. I'm sure plenty of you are happy that it's over. This story really grabbed my attention immediately after... It became news. More so because I look, these guys over at Ben and Jerry's, I'm not getting them. The fact that they can just dole out a flavor whenever they want is a little disturbing to me. But stop making your ice cream political. It's the reason why I won't eat it. Reason why I won't touch it. Because it's always something new with these guys. And being reactionary isn't always a good thing in business. And I'm only bringing this up to back up the Tyler Clemente case, of course, and the conviction. Ben and Jerry's have issued a pro-gay marriage flavor. And they're out of Vermont. And they support gay marriage. So, and they're doing it in Britain, which is even scarier because, you know, they're in Vermont here in the United States. The Vermont-based subsidiary of the global food and cosmetics conglomerate Unilever is issuing the newly labeled ice cream in the United Kingdom as the British Parliament begins debating legislation that would allow same-sex couples to marry. When Vermont passed such a law 2 years ago, the company celebrated by briefly repackaging its Chubby Hubby ice cream with Hubby Hubby. Ben and Jerry's has been involved in progressive political causes since its founding in 1978. Okay, fine. The company's Liz Shepherd, Stewart, says the gender of married spouses matter less than their love of commitment. So now they put out a new ice cream flavor, their apple pie flavor, as Appley Ever After. I don't see the connotation here.
Apple flavored apple pie ice cream is disgusting. Whatever. Whatever floats your boat. But you're in the ice cream business. You're not in the politics business or the gay rights movement. I mean, who runs your company? Are they lesbians and gays? Who runs the company?
Well, everything that they do is progressively liberal. I mean, they're far left wing hacks. That's who they are.
Yeah, but no, who they are ice cream makers.
That's exactly what they
Chunky
are.
Monkey.
Right.
Love it. One of my favorites.
Really? I've never had it.
Never had Chubby Hubby. New York Super Fudge Chunk. Haagen-Dazs is my all time favorite. But
you know how I look at it,
Reese? Come on.
Go for it.
I look at like what Ben and Jerry does is basically it's all marketing,
right?
But it's whack marketing. In terms of sales. In terms of sales, it works.
But you know, this is the reason why I don't believe
if they were smart.
Mm-hmm.
If they were smart, they'd put out a fruit cocktail ice cream. Or sorbet or sherbet or something.
Well,
that would sell globally.
Yeah, if you're right, JC. If they were smart, they would try getting on like some kind of health kick, maybe like come out with a chocolate frozen yogurt or
They don't do that already. They don't do that already.
No, Haagen-Dazs does it, but they don't do it. I've never seen it.
You know, it's interesting because I always say these left progressives always do something idiotic. This is why I don't trust them and I don't like them. Do you guys remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about the story where they had to take one of their ice creams off the shelves immediately after they put it out because they were trying to market
the Lin ice cream?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's right. Jeremy Lin of the New York Knicks, they put out their flavor of Lin Sanity, which had pieces of fortune cookie inside the ice cream.
Well, what's in the Hubby Hubby? The same thing as the Chubby Hubby?
I guess it would be,
But even, okay, like Linsanity, it had, fortune cookies in it. Whatever. Right. Chubby Hubby.
I don't know the flavor, so what's in Chubby Hubby?
I don't know exactly what's in Chubby Hubby, but, if you got in trouble for Linsanity, you have Chubby. How come fat folks weren't like, why are you calling this ice cream Chubby Hubby?
Right.
Get the F
because
out of here.
You know what it was? Because it wasn't denigrating to women.
But it
calling
was,
men fat is okay.
No, it's not.
Of course it is. When people are talking about overweight, they're always talking about women. They're never talking about men.
One group of
weighty people you can ostracize. Men are, forget about it. All you have to do is just add men to the mix and forget about it. All bets are off. If it had been, knifey wifey or whatever, I don't know. I was just thinking just anything along that line. If it had been something that talked about heavyweight women, immediately it would have been, it would have been ostracized. Immediately pulled off the market because women are considered a minority. And that's what that would have been. So, Chubby Hubby, that's okay. Calling a fat guy fat, that's cool.
But then they've got Chunky Monkey, too. They've got a Chunky Monkey.
Yeah, but yeah. If there was a depiction of a black person on it, then that would be the issue. But no, 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 you can say Chunky Monkey. There's no problem with that.
I just don't understand it. I don't get it. You know, hey, hold on. You're on my earphones.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's stupid, but it's stupid, and I don't understand why they get involved in
and
it.
Why are they doing it in England? Like, is England the new America?
Well, again, they're progressive liberals, so everything that progressives believe is in Europe.
The Mexican cartels went to England, and now they're following?
Are
they going to come out with a cocaine ice cream
and
a marijuana ice cream?
They are progressives, and that's what it is that they do.
Well, they're progressively screwing themselves.
I think they believe they've got enough money to do whatever it is they want to do.
But, I mean, didn't they? Well, yeah, because look at how expensive their frickin' ice cream is. It's ridiculous. And then you're lucky.
$5-6 a pop?
It's like $4. On the grocery store, it's probably $3.99, $4.19.
That's just
as expensive as Haagen-Dazs. But Haagen-Dazs makes such a better ice cream anyway.
Do they?
Oh, definitely.
Whatever happened to Frusenglajen?
Oh, God.
I remember them. I
want to know what happened to was those, and you can still get a version of them, but you can't get this particular. They were coconut bars. Like, it was like coconut filled with the coconut in the middle, you know, all through it. They were delicious, and you can get like some fake version of them.
I remember Frusenglajen very well. I
never
think it was
had
in the 80s. Yeah, in the 80s. It was Frusenglajen was a...
Oh,
I remember
it. That was the greatest.
It was a great ice cream. It was. It had a little white packaging. It looked kind of like a white egg, but it wasn't completely...
A little rounded edge.
Yeah,
like a bullet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but JC, like, first of all, I'm an ice cream connoisseur, okay?
Are you?
Yeah, I'm certified to make Brewster's Ice Cream, which is one of the best ice cream places around.
I'm sorry, you're certified? Can be certified?
Yeah, you have to be. In order to make, it's homemade ice cream, you have to be certified. I worked for them at one point. So I had to go to Pennsylvania and where their corporate office is and get trained on how to actually properly scoop ice cream.
Really?
How to properly make... They made their ice cream fresh every day.
Really?
How to place the top, like the they had cherry vanilla or whatever.
Right.
You actually had to learn how to let the ice cream out of the machine into the bucket, stop it, place a maraschino cherry all in the ice cream. The whole thing was covered. Then you put more ice cream. Then you put more maraschino cherries. I mean, it was ridiculous. 2 weeks of training, so I'm certified. I have certification.
These are courses that they used to have for that.
Huh?
There are courses for that at some university in down in Pennsylvania somewhere.
Really? It's probably for Brewster's Ice Cream because that's where they started, and they're huge. They actually sell, like, they have Nathan's on there, on the menu, whatever. It's really great ice cream, and I had to go around to different ice cream shops to try out what our competition was, what the prices were, what the customer service was like, what the quality of the ice cream was, the quality of the toppings, whatever, blah, 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 blah. I love ice cream.
I worked at Scooper Bowl in Boston, which was scooping ice cream for free for people. You can see the pictures on my Facebook
page. I did see them. As a matter of fact, we were talking about ice cream today at work because we want to do some kind of like ice cream social. So there's actually a Mr. Softy truck turned into a gay ice cream truck.
Gay?
Gay. Gay. Like homo gay.
Sexual gay?
Gay, yes. Homosexual gay.
I don't understand.
They actually have a storefront in Manhattan, and they have an ice cream truck that is a refurbished Mr. Softy truck. I forget what the name of it is because I Googled it today. And it is, yeah, it's a gay ice cream truck.
I don't even understand
what's
the purpose. I mean, the
thing ever.
Do gay people feel as though ice cream isn't marketed to them?
I mean, Mr. Softy doesn't discriminate in New York for
Christ's sake. I don't think so. That's a little
What
insane.
Is it called? Oh,
I don't even want to know. Anyway, so look, we'll take a break. I got to ask. I gotta ask a question when we come back. Has the office of the President of the United States lost its mind? Have people lost their mind? Have things become so casual that the office of the President of the United States, to the point where people are behaving extremely bad when they are inside the presence of the President of the United States or in the White House? Has things become so casual? When we return, Sir Richard Branson, the head of Virgin, the Virgin Empire, goes into the White House and he asks the President of the United States a freaking odd question that I never ever thought anybody would ever think to ask the President of the United States.
Was it a good question?
Oh, it was a oddball question. When I read the story, you will be completely baffled. When we return, stick around. It's Reese on the Radio. We will be back. Right where you are, don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio. And if you missed the show, you probably missed this little thing that I revealed for the first time since 2007.
I'll give you another example. I've got a crush on a Slurpee. I love Coca-Cola Slurpees. Love them. I'll get the biggest one there is. I don't care how filled my bladder. I'm telling you, I've had four of them in a day. And we're talking about the big 64-ounce. I am in love with a Coca-Cola Slurpee. When I used to live in Fort Lee, New Jersey, I used to walk 7 blocks in New Jersey to get to the 7-Eleven and go get me a Coca-Cola Slurpee. Now, for a little time, back to 2007, I had an official Coke problem.
Okay. Very funny.
Tune in weeknights from 7 to 10 right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. You never know what I'm going to reveal.
This one time racism saved my life, man. I was on a plane. I was coming from overseas, and I don't know how this guy got a machine gun on the plane, but he stood up, man. He said, "Everybody, get on the plane, bro. Nobody look at my face." I started freaking out because he was Chinese. I was like, "Why is he talking like that?" He was screaming and crying. I was the only brother on the plane. I thought I was the only brother. I looked over. There was one other black dude. He's from Nigeria. I looked over at him. He was looking right in my face, man. He didn't say two words to me. He just looked at me. He was like, he didn't need to talk. I knew just what he was talking about. I looked right back at him. I was like, some white dudes on the front of the plane seen us. They were like, "Oh my God. I think those black guys are going to try to save us." We were just communicating that we understood the situation. We were both seeing the same thing. What we understood was simple. Terrorists don't take black hostages. That's the truth. I have yet to see one of us on the news reading the hostage letter.
They is treating us good. We all chilling and shit. I'd like to give a shout out to Ray Ray and Big Steve and Central Newport.
You're not going to see it. And terrorists are smart. They know what they're doing there, you know. They terrorists. They know it's black people's bad bargaining chips. They called the White House and said, "Hello? We have got 5 black... Hello?"
Hey, guys, it's Reese on the Radio. And are you nervous about calling Reese on the Radio at 347-308-8701? That's fine. You can send us an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. We'll take all of your emails and we'll read them on the air. Don't like the show? We'll read it. Like the show? We'll definitely read it. You're indifferent about the show? We'll read it. Whatever it is you've got to say, we'll read it. Just send an email to ReeseOnTheRadio@yahoo.com. That's right, ReeseOnTheRadio@yahoo.com. Get your comments live on the air. Get your views. Get your position made. Whatever it is that you've got to say, just email us at ReeseOnTheRadio@yahoo.com.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian American, moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. That's really, I'm not joking.
.45 is your time right here on Reese on the Radio this Friday, March the 16th, 2012. Anyway. The announcement is going to be coming up in a little bit. I know I said in the second hour it was going to be, but, you know, look, I got other stories to get into.
We're
so
not in the second hour yet.
Oh, no, I said the second half of the hour.
Oh.
Anyway. And if I meant to say second half of the hour instead of saying second hour, and you're absolutely right. Anyway, so I asked the question before we went to break, and it some odd reason it bothers the hell out of me. Why is it that people have been treating the White House with such disrespect? Now, you can make the argument that, you know, oh, people disrespect Barack Obama every day. They say this about him. They say that. They don't even respect the president. But okay, look, what that is patently different. When people talked about George W. Bush being Hitler, nobody batted an eye. When Lionsgate Film put out a film in 2007 called The Assassination of a President, a mockumentary showing George W. Bush being shot in the head in Chicago, nobody batted an eye. Actual film, folks. Actual film. A film about killing George W. Bush. Nobody batted an eye. Got rave reviews. But when I talk about disrespecting the White House and thinking that this president is so cool, because that's what a lot of people have gotten caught up with. They've gotten so cool. This Hollywood elitism, this laid-back society that we've become. And before I get into Sir Richard Branson, the owner of the Virgin Empire, a comedian by the name of David Cross, who's got some heat not too long ago. No one mentioned it when it happened, but later he got some beef. In fact, he admitted that he got some beef. David Cross was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And for those of you who are familiar, this is when a bunch of comedians, like a comedian, host it. I think last year it was Seth Meyers of Saturday Night Live, who does Weekend Update. And usually you have comedians, they usually do something, and the president comes up and he tells jokes. Somebody, it's almost like a roast, so to speak. Well, David Cross, the comedian from Arrested Development, used to do another show called, I'm trying to remember the show he used to do with Bob Odenkirk on HBO. That's where he started out, or at least that was his one of his first big sort of projects. But anyway, David Cross is in the White House during a White House Correspondents' Dinner a couple of years back, and he tweets himself sniffing cocaine just feet from President Barack Obama. Now, his girlfriend at the time, how he got the invitation, he was dating, I think he's still dating, Amber Tamblyn, the girl from the TV show. Why am I forgetting the name? Because it was right at the tip of my tongue. She did a TV show on CBS with Joe Mantegna, where she is visited by God. JC, see if we can find out the name of that darn show. Amber Tamblyn is her name. And she used to do a show on CBS where she's visited by God by different individuals. Different guest stars would come on, and she'd be visited by God. And it was sort of like this whole show where she was told what to do because God would visit her. Anyway, So Amber Tamblyn got the invite to go to the White House Correspondents' Dinner. She takes David Cross. David Cross goes there, and he sniffs cocaine, and he tweets all of his friends, and everybody thinks it's funny. It's gotten worse, ladies and gentlemen, because somebody like Richard Branson, Sir Richard Branson, and I don't have to call him sir because I ain't from England. Anyway, the story goes like this, and this is from Politico. When you go to the White House state dinner and you're lucky enough to get some FaceTime with the president, what do you ask? Richard Branson says, quote, I asked him if I could have a spliff. He told this told the crowd at the Atlantic, which is a liberal magazine, the Atlantic's Washington offices, on Thursday, the day after attending the dinner for Prime Minister David Cameron. But he didn't have any, Branson continued, according to a video of the event, as he recalled his effort to procure weed the night before, before at the White House. So here is this guy. He gets an invitation to a state dinner. He goes up to meet the president of the United States, and he asks the president whether or not he has some weed.
No, he said, can I get a spliff?
Whatever.
Man? Yeah, I got some ganja.
Do we think that the president, like, it's so cool to be in the White House. This president is so cool. That would be funny. You know what I'm saying? He'd get that. Or was it racist?
It wasn't racist.
Why wasn't it?
Why would it be racist?
Why wasn't it?
Well, why was it?
Why would you ask? Would you ask George W. Bush? Would you ask George W. Bush for some cocaine?
If I wanted some,
but would you ask the president of the United States for some cocaine?
If I was this dude, probably.
No, would you?
No, I personally would not. I mean, hello, don't want to get arrested.
Yeah.
But if you're this dude. Sir, whomever.
You don't know who Richard Branson is. My question is would he ask? Would he have asked Ronald Reagan?
Probably not.
Would he have asked Bill Clinton?
Probably.
Why would he?
Because Bill Clinton smoked weed.
Oh, he said, I tried to smoke, but I didn't inhale. So, okay,
yeah,
would he have asked Herbert?
They probably all smoked
would
weed.
Would he have asked Herbert Walker Bush?
Maybe. You never.
Herbert Walker Bush?
You don't know how these people
Papa Bush? Go ahead, JC.
I didn't inhale.
That's actually
well, that's
good.
From might have been Joan of Arcadia.
That's it. Joan of Arcadia. That's the name of the show.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, Joan of Arcadia. That is the name of the show. Amber Tamblyn.
It got canceled.
It did get canceled.
Pretty
of course
quickly.
It did. I don't know. How many seasons did it last? Two? JC?
I'm here.
How many seasons did that Joan of Arcadia?
Are you smoking a spliff, JC? I mean, what's the problem?
I'm just sitting here having coffee with Branson right now. We're talking about his next flight into space. 2003 to 2005.
Okay, so it lasted about two
seasons.
Canceled after the second season.
Yeah,
it canceled after the second season.
Yeah, but Richard, David Cross, who's our boyfriend, sniffed cocaine. He said in his tweet, I think it was about 20 feet away from the President of the United States, and thought that was funny. I mean, come on, folks. You have the Boston Globe. The Boston Globe wrote an article a year after President Obama was elected and was talking about how great it was to have such a cool president who wore couture and went to the cool restaurants.
I mean, you wouldn't walk up to him and ask him for
any
chitlins
cool,
and hot sauce,
I mean,
would you?
What'd you say?
Say again, JC.
You wouldn't walk up to the president, Barack Obama, and ask him for some chitlins and hot sauce and cornbread, would you?
But, of course, you would not. Well, I would. First of all, that would be my joke. I would say, hey, what's on the menu? Please tell me you got some fried chicken. Like, that would be a joke. But it would be a joke for two reasons. One, because he's black. And two, because his wife is trying to get them to curb their appetites, you know, and eat healthier. So there would have been two reasons behind that joke. What I'm asking is if anyone had asked, think about that. You ask the president of the United States whether or not he's got a spliff? He asked for a spliff, not a joint. And spliff is a common, a common terminology that Negroes use when talking about smoking weed. Yes or no, Mary? Help me out here.
Yes.
All righty.
That's
then.
A West Indian term, first
That's
off.
Right.
It is a West Indian term. And
it's
you're
a West
exactly
Indian
right.
term, first off.
That's right. Hello, President Obama.
And
how
secondly,
are you?
Secondly,
lovely to see you and your wife there. Hey, look, we're going to be eating all day. Happen to have a spliff?
That's probably exactly how he said it, too.
Happen to have a spliff?
And
fancy
secondly,
a spliff,
because he's
will
Hawaiian, you? They grow some of the best weed.
But to ask a black president for a spliff is racist.
That,
I don't
come
care
on
racist.
Now. That's
Tell me it's
racist.
Not.
It is stupid.
Racist.
And no, it's not.
Yeah, it is. It's racist.
It,
it
is racist.
Not racist.
Fancy a spliff
yes,
there, Negro.
Every sense of the word is racist.
Barack Obama probably smokes weed, and that's probably why he asked him, did he have a damn
He
spliff.
Used to smoke weed. He used to sniff blow, too.
Well, that's probably why I asked him then, especially if that's public information.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But when George W. Bush was accused of being a cocaine addict, oh, that cokehead. But here's a president who openly.
I'm not saying wait.
George W. Bush never admitted sniffing cocaine. He was ostracized for being a cocaine sniffer. Barack Obama admits they sniff cocaine and smoke weed in his book. He celebrated. Tell me how this is crazy, not crazy.
That's fine, but it's not racist.
Fancy a spliff there, Obama? What
Not
do you think?
Racist. I read your book. I heard you used to get high. You still getting high? Can I get a spliff, my man? Can we bust this Dutch open?
You know,
it's not racist.
It's racist.
No, it's not.
It is racist.
The dude smokes weed.
So?
A lot of people smoke weed, Reese. You, it's not.
Stop it with the a lot of people smoke weed. Really?
Michelle,
how many people do
you
think in this country are drug users?
There are
hold on. What'd you say? Hold on, JC, what did you say?
I think it would be matching me today. Blunt for blunt.
First of all, JC, please get these facts for me, please, just
yes.
one fact.
But these facts are based off of a census that is taken, and these are people,
How many people
that
live
will,
in-
hold on, wait a minute, and these are people that will admit to smoking weed. Not everyone is questioned in these censuses, and not everyone answers correctly and honestly in these censuses.
How many people in this country, based on percentage, out of 310 million people, how many of them do you, in percentage, do you think smoke, do drugs?
I mean, I don't know, Reese.
Come on, take a wild guess. You said a lot.
Doctors, lawyers, congressmen, there's
what's
a
lot.
Probably one out of five people smoke weed.
One out of five?
Yeah.
You'll find that number's a lot smaller.
No, we had a conversation about it before. Remember, it was like maybe 5% of the country smoked.
5% of the country.
That's why we wouldn't change the laws.
5% of the country.
But again, you yeah. got that information based off of a census that
so
was
double
taken.
It. So fine, let's double it.
No.
Let's
no,
double it.
No.
10% of the
you
entire population.
You can only give me those numbers if every person in this country has been asked.
What makes
because
you
only
think
a
that
part
everybody
of the population
and
is
that's
asked.
Not going to happen?
I never
okay,
got asked.
Fine. Let's take one. Okay, I'm going to count.
Because these numbers are
Hold
no
on.
Good.
Hold on. I'm going to count five people right now. I'm going to count 1, 2, 3, 4, myself and you. That's seven people, right?
Okay.
It's going to take your mother, your two aunts, and your cousin.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
That's right. Your mother, two aunts, your cousin, that comes to four, right? Me,
uh-huh.
you. That's six, right?
Uh-huh.
And your uncle.
Uh-huh.
That's seven, right?
Uh-huh.
Out of all those seven people, how many of us, percentage-wise, one in what? Two in what? How many of them smoke weed?
Zero.
Zippo. I've just counted seven people out of group, and you got zero. So where's your one in five? I should be able to, one in five, I should be able to reach out and touch somebody.
If you were smoking weed, you probably could.
Well, pass.
Look, before we go to break.
Tough pass.
Yeah, right. We'll take a break. We have to. I can't believe you.
Okay, one in 10 people.
Yes, that would make it 10%. That was doubling you. The number that I know for a fact is five.
You know for a fact because you did the census. You know what? I am so over your I know for a fact. Did you just cut me off?
No. You're
oh,
there.
I was like, did you just cut me off?
We'll take a break. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times.
Then grab it! Grab it!
Mary had a little lamb, it was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you. Reese.
On the radio, top of the hour, 1 minute after the hour. I love volume. Who's that? Yeah, I've got you. Anyway, it's Reese on the Radio. And we're live. I have to put the volume up for you. On this Friday, March the 16th, 2012, 1 minute after the hour. So let me get into this whole thing, the whole breakdown of what it is that we're doing, and the big announcement, as it were. It is very, very simple.
The big announcement that's very, very simple.
It is.
Love
it. It's a big announcement. It's very, very simple. Reese on the Radio is going to be changing
venues.
Actually, no.
Oh, my bad.
We're not going to change any venues. What we're going to do is that we are going to push the show back, and we're shortening the time. And there's good reason for that. One, a three-hour program, although we're fine with that, is a lot of an undertaking considering it's Blog Talk Radio. And although I would love to sit around and talk for 3 hours, we know that people are not going to sit on the internet for 3 hours listening to the show. And nobody should, for that matter. So we've decided to make it more consistent. Here I am talking about we. It's my damn decision. We're going to make it more consistent. We're going to make it more concise. So what we've decided to do is to break it down to 2 hours, and we're going to start at 8 p.m., making things easier on all involved. The way that news is breaking nowadays, you have to push it back later on in the hour, and at 7 o'clock, people are finishing up with dinner and stuff like that, and their obligations sometimes appear to be, you know, other things. So it was smarter for us as a unit to push it back 1 hour and to shorten it up to 2 hours. So we're going to do that so that we can give you not only a compressed sort of show, but a better and more entertaining show. And I think it works better that way. So and I have to get the date right, although I believe that we should start Monday, and I will ask you guys.
Too.
Okay.
Well, considering the fact.
Go on.
No, okay, I won't say that. That's neither here nor there. I think we should start Monday.
Okay. So what we will do on Monday, Reese on the Radio will be now. Sorry, let me drag these guys in here. Hey, guys, I want to make sure you're here. Making a big announcement, you're missing it. Just want to make sure you were there. So what we're going to do is on Monday, starting on Monday, let me get my calendar back up again so I can at least announce the date correctly. Monday, on March 19th, Reese on the Radio begins at 8 p.m. to 10, a 2-hour show. So we'll change everything up When you go on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com, you'll see the changes there. Reese on the Radio, 5 days a week, 2 hours a day. Online here starting at 8 p.m. I figured it was better. It's a prime time slot. It's a good slot. And we'll condense it. And we'll give you more bang for your buck, I promise you. With 2 hours, you'll get a whole lot more. And for a lot of people who missed the 7 o'clock hour, now we can condense everything into 8 o'clock. When we start to feel as though the show needs to run over or needs to push back another hour, we'll do that as the news starts to develop, especially now with the election coming up and especially with the summer happening. It's much warmer now. People are outside. It was a better thing to do. So I went over the assessment. I assessed everything. I, you know, went over all types of ideas and ideologies, and it seemed like the best thing to do. So you can join us now from 8 to 10, from Monday through Friday, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Go to ReeseOnTheRadio.com after the weekend. Over the weekend, you'll see all the changes right there, and you'll be able to log on. And you can still join us and have a good time, just an hour later, or just 2 hours. So I promise you, you will have a good time nonetheless. Nothing's changing. And you know what? There's nothing more else that I mean, there's not much more I can say after that. So that's pretty much the announcement. That's what it is that I've been saving all this time. JC, any thoughts?
It makes sense to me. That makes sense.
Okay.
Even if you had gone down to 10 minutes, I'd be with you.
I appreciate that.
Wow.
Man. I really, really appreciate that. And, of course, our good friend... Our good friend, pardon me for 1 second. I have no idea why this is there. They do know that I'm doing a live show. You think that they would call on my show. Hey, if you want to talk to Reese on the radio, you can call us up on 347-308-8701. That's right. The number is 347-308-8701. Whoever it is calling me on the phone right now. I don't want to give out your telephone number here, but... My number is 347-308-8701. Okay? Can you hear me? Hey, what's up? Is this? Oh, it's my stepdad calling on the phone. Let me put him on speaker so I can embarrass him. Okay. All right. My stepdad is on the phone, and he's calling me during my show. And I'll call you back, Dad, okay?
Okay, this is my number. Punch his number.
Yeah, I got you covered. What happened? You couldn't pay the bill on the last one?
No, I paid the bill on this one and changed my number.
Okay, are you on the run? Are you on the run? That's all I want to know. Are you on the run?
No, I'm not on the run. You're not on the run.
You don't have any girlfriends chasing you. I just want to know what I should tell them.
Yeah, they're chasing me. You
know what I'm saying? All right, no problem. I'll call you. All right, sorry about that.
Is this phone in the dog's name?
What's that? What'd you
is
say,
this
JC?
Phone in the dog's name?
He should put it in his dog's
name. Is this phone in the dog's name?
No. Anyway, so we're, of course, also being joined by our good friend, the Kool-Aid Man is in the house, James Montgomery. I can't find your damn intro.
That's all right. Always forget the black man.
Yeah, I know. I apologize. What's going on?
I haven't gotten any intro either, so don't worry about it, James.
Okay. Well, you know.
No. I got your intro. You have a new intro.
Don't let the liberal media tell you how to think and feel. If you have hate in your heart, let it out. Open up your heart.
You are a hater.
No, you are the hater. You sit here and fill yourself with haterade all day. You are the hater. I'm not the hater.
Yeah, right. Anyway, so James, what do you think? 8 o'clock? That works better for you now, right?
Yeah, actually it does.
Yeah. So we're just pushing it back. It's going to be, you know, I mean, it's a smart thing to do.
I think it works better, especially being online, Blog Talk Radio. It's still prime time, you know, and you know, it's a better way to, I believe personally, to do the show. And I think it works out.
All the radio goodness just concentrated.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much. So, James, you weren't here for the last half. We were talking about Sir Richard Branson, who went to the White House during a state dinner yesterday and asked the president for a spliff. Hello, hello, President Obama. Happen to fancy a spliff? And then told people about it. Is this racist?
Racist?
Why wouldn't it be?
What? Oh, James, I hope you're with me on this because I don't get it. He thinks it's racist. I don't think, why? He asked Barack Obama if he had a spliff because Barack Obama's black?
Yes.
Wrong answer. You probably, oh, God. Just,
he could,
okay,
be, I
James,
don't think
you
would have asked President Bush.
Yeah, but hold on. We're talking about walking into the president's home at a state dinner, shaking his hand and asking him if he had a spliff.
That's just, wow.
I'm sure the conversation probably didn't really.
Well, wait. Let him answer. He asked the president at a state dinner if he had a spliff.
What?
Is this disrespectful?
Yes, it's definitely disrespectful. Racist is kind of esoteric. That's kind of I think you could definitely categorize that as racist because I doubt he would have asked President Bush.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. How about this one? How about David Cross, the boyfriend of Amber Tamblyn from that TV show Joan of Arcadia, sniffing cocaine at the White House Correspondents' Dinner?
Was that racist?
Or just inappropriate?
That's inappropriate. I mean, geez, how obtuse can it be?
I mean, he said obtuse. It's ridiculous. My question is, what disrespect these people have of the office of the White House that they think, like, in essence, here's the thing that baffles me. First of all, David Cross committed a crime.
Yeah.
There's been no word of it. He tweeted it and a picture of him doing the cocaine at the correspondence dinner 20 feet away from the President of the United States.
Oh, he tweeted a photo?
Yeah, a photo.
Why would you do that? Why would you put incriminating evidence?
Yeah, you can, exactly. You come
online
into
to everybody.
JC, if you can see if there's a story on it. He talked about it, and he said he got a lot of crap. He said, and so did Amber Tamblyn. What crap did he get? I don't know any stories that he got crap about it. He committed
a
crime. It was
jail.
A federal crime. Nobody charged him with a crime. That's how freaking loose the White House has gotten. There's no respect for it.
But I don't think this is exactly what you said. The White House has gotten so loose, they have no respect for them. So instead, this wasn't a racist issue. This was just, I ain't got no respect for you issue. I mean, y'all seem to do whatever it is that you want to do in here. So, hey, you
yeah,
got
it's a
split?
Big fat party.
You got a spliff, my
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a big fat
somebody,
party.
Somebody
Johnny,
here got a spliff? Anybody? Can
Johnny,
you look a brother up?
Johnny Depp comes in dressed as the Mad Hatter. We're partying here. Got a party every weekend. You got Paul McCartney comes and goes as he please. Man's got one of those easy passes to come into the White House. Hey, hello, I'm Paul McCartney. I'm here to see the President of the United States. I look to sing Michelle My Bell to his wife. Everybody loves me. Hi, who invited Ringo Starr? He's not a real Beatle. I'm doing my Paul McCartney impersonation.
I thought you were doing a snake dance.
I'm doing my Paul McCartney. Hello. John Lennon's dead, so I'm the favorite.
Oh, wow. That's...
What? That's pretty true.
I'm the only one that feels for, I'm the only one that matters. I'm just speechless. I can't believe the disrespect that...
Yes, the disrespect of the White House. That Sir Richard Branson would walk in there and ask the President of the United States, fancy a spliff? Looks like to smoke a bowl in the green room.
Wow. Wow.
We'll have to smoke a bowl in the green room. Maybe have some munchies in Lincoln's bedroom. Where might I fancy one?
It would probably be really fun to get high in the White House.
Hey, I understand your wife has got a garden in the back room. Your wife's got a garden growing? It's the first time. Perhaps she would grow some marijuana there. Perhaps you'd grow some marijuana there, huh? Or you want to really, really cultivate your tomatoes, put some marijuana buds there. Or take a shot of vodka and a spliff. You know how we get down, don't you, Mr. President?
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
It's disrespectful, and that shows how much respect people have for the White House.
I say the disrespectful part was... You are a smoker. You have access to it at all times.
Yeah, how do you not have weed?
How come you ain't got none of
your
pockets?
You're a billionaire. How do you not have weed?
Yeah, right.
And then you can't even procure a nickel bag, and you in D.C. when they're running up the cars?
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, putting their hands in the car, and there's like 10. If you ride around in the drug, in the copping a bag of weed or whatever neighborhood in D.C. They come around. If you got your window rolled down, they're all coming around with their hands in your car window. Like, I got the best. I got this. I got that. It's like back in New York, like yellow tops, green tops. I got this blue top. What the hell?
You can get a government police.
What's a yellow top?
No, that's how they said. Oh, forget it. I'm finished.
I'm passing her out
but
there.
But you do know what a yellow top is.
Yeah, I'm assuming
it's crack. I know nothing of the sort.
Yeah, sure you don't. Yeah, right. Anyway, we'll take a break when we come back. Hey, Christianity. Now think about this. I want you to think about this. Christianity not allowed on American Idol. Think about it.
Wow.
Christianity.
Music was...
No. Christianity not allowed on American Idol. We'll tell you more when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum.
Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative, rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun. Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle, twinkle.
We're back at Reese on the Radio, 23 minutes after the hour right here on Blog Talk Radio this Friday, March the 16th, 2012. Again, please let your friends know Reese on the Radio will be starting later and it will be shorter. That's not a bad thing. I promise you it's not a bad thing. 2 hours a day, 5 days a week from 8 to 10. I like the sound of it. It works out better for everyone. We'd be able to condense the show, do a whole lot more in a short amount of time. And as, of course, the news progresses, we might even do like we might throw in another actually half an hour or something, which gives us the option to do that. Because sometimes it's slow news. We're just sitting up here bantering or me talking about myself, which is what I enjoy doing. I could do it all day. I have hundreds of thousands of stories. I can tell you one right now, but I've got other pressing issues. The attack on Christianity today has been so obvious, and in a lot of ways, it's become sickening. But when it starts coming into people's personal choice, especially when it comes to talent, that's where I have an issue. Let me explain this to you before I get the guys to chime in on this, because I don't even know whether or not they know the story, or maybe they did read the story, but it struck me when I found it. The story is actually, I found it on newsbusters.org today. The headline reads, American Idol producers tell contestants to tone down Christian references. The producers of the hit show American Idol apparently told one of its top contestants to tone down his overtly Christian references if he wants to win the competition. According to Today.com, Colton Dixon doesn't care and plans to continue using the show and social media to spread the message of faith. Quote, when we first started the Twitter and Facebook stuff, they said beware of political and religious tweets. Just because it can turn off voters or whatever. But you know, being a Christian is who I am. And it's a part of me musically. It's what I want to do after the show, go into Christian music. And this is what he told Today, the Today Show, or Today.com, sorry, in an interview he did with Today.com. He says, quote, I'm not going to hide it, and I'm not going to stray away from it just because I'm on a TV show. I woke up, and I do devotional every morning. It reminds me why I am here, which is to share the love of God. I know there are several other contestants who can say the exact same thing, but it's a part of me, and I want to share it. No matter what, good or bad outcome, it is me. Frankly, I'm not sure the producers understand who their audience is. Fans of the show know full well that the country singers like Carrie Underwood, Kelly Pickler, and Kelly Clarkson do well on the program because so many of their viewers are folks from red states as opposed to California and New York. This is true. We got proof that in 2009, when blue state favorite Adam Lambert, who is homosexual, came in second place to Arkansas-born Chris Allen. At the time, many felt this actually became a red state, blue state battle, with folks having little interest in the show casting votes to show support for liberal and conservative values. As Allen ended up winning, Idol producers might want to rethink Dixon toning down anything that has cruised into the top 10. Definitely seems like he's a favorite of the judges and the audience up to this point. So here it is that the one thing that we've always said about creativity, artistic freedom. Here is a guy who says, I mean, what do we want? I mean, you hear all the rappers talk about, yo, my man, I'm just talking about what's going on in the streets, son. What's real, you know what I'm saying? What's real in the field, son? Just letting brothers know what's going on, you know what I'm saying, son? Now, here's a guy who's keeping it real in the field, right? He sings to the Lord. He's got a damn good voice. Katy Perry used to do Christian music, but, you know, that wasn't working for her because, you know, she had to sleaze it up. Marry some lunatic named Russell Brand. All right, that worked out for her. I mean, I don't think she had real devotion anyway to God. Real devotion would have been, I'm sticking with this because God loves me. But, you know, that's her. It's, you know, I'm not here to judge. But this young man is saying, this is who I am. I'm not changing for anybody. Tim Tebow! Now, let me ask you, folks, do you think that the Idol producers are wrong here? Yeah. And are they stepping in a field, in a minefield, that this report has come out and told you you can't be Christian?
They're looking to have their show end pretty soon.
Say that again.
So they're looking to have their show end pretty soon.
It's got it.
I mean, clearly, of all of the winners over the past years, even those that didn't win, probably with the exception of Daughtry, who found success simply because he's that good, all of their most successful winners have all been country music artists.
Well, that's also true, but I find what I also find interesting is since the debacle of Jennifer Hudson, people who haven't even made it to the finals have found more success having not won. Kelly Pickler's star is rising right now. By the way, in the country world, and by the way, when I tell you I got an infatuation for Kelly Pickler, you got to hear her song Tough. I'm telling you, I love this girl now. And people try to market her as being some dumb twit. I love this girl. Her music is sick as far as country music is concerned. And I love Carrie Underwood, too. I've always dug her. But, you know, and Jennifer Hudson, I still dig her, too. I'm not a real fan of the music she does, but I'm a fan of her, if you get my meaning. Like, I think she's a talent. I don't have to like her music to know she's a talent. You know what I'm saying? So I
love
think guys
music.
Like, you know, and Daughtry is another example of that. He's doing stadiums.
Yeah, he's on stadiums. Yeah, you're right.
And he's not an opening act, my friend. He is not an opening act. He's the guy
no.
who didn't win, and he's kicking ass.
Yeah, but as you said, you know, it's been a trend that, and it's not even runner-ups. It's people who got out early are doing better. And are more known now than the actual winners. Because the winners, yeah, they won, they get the hoopla, and then you don't really hear from them.
You know what? You know what really destroyed Simon Cowell's credibility, and no one even mentions it? Do you know what destroyed American Idol and the credibility of the talent search ability of Simon Cowell? The aforementioned Jennifer Hudson. Think about the timeline, JC, and you can back me up on this. Just look it up. As soon as Jennifer Hudson won that Oscar, his credibility was dead.
Oh, yeah. This was the girl that he she was up there. She was in a really silvery, shiny dress. Mm-hmm. And he told her that she looks very appalling in the dress and said she looked like a baked ham.
Right. He ostracized her. And look at this is a Grammy Award winning, Oscar winning, come on. I mean, all she has to do is win an Emmy. She's a true threat.
And he Simon, also said, he also, he went out there and he said that he thought she wasn't going to make it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you come to America, people don't know much about you. You're being touted as the world's most knowing seeker of talent or knower of talent. Everything you touch turns to gold. And then you kick this chick off. Her first movie, she's nominated for an Oscar and wins. And then
her
comes out with an
album.
First album, wins a Grammy. Everything you say is mud now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, this kid... You know, it's funny because I learned this, and I don't care. I'm the one person. Everybody else in this business, they won't give credit where credit is due. I do because I love this man. Rush Limbaugh taught me something very early in my life. Whenever there's conventional wisdom, go the other way. That's one thing that he taught me. And a clear example of that is Jennifer Hudson. Anybody who in the business tells you that this is hot, this is the reason why I critique so much music and I critique so many things because conventional wisdom is always wrong because there's always someone who's pushing that further than it needs to be. I think this kid knows what he's talking about. He wouldn't be in the top 10 if his quote-unquote Christian rhetoric was disturbing or annoying to people.
Yep. And the thing is, there have been other gospel singers who have gone pretty far. It's when they're told or they're coached to be more secular that they don't last long.
Yeah, but these guys don't know what they're talking about. These guys are hired to make mistakes. And these people, these coaches, these PR people, they are hired to make mistakes. And what I mean by that is that they only follow the trend of the next guy who's already successful at it, if you get my meaning. You know what I mean? Like
the last guy.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's like, well, the last guy. Hollywood is a perfect example of that. You know, it's like if they find out that a format worked in the theaters, the next guy is coming up with the next adaptation of that same genre or that same idea. It's never original. It's never, because everybody keeps saying you can't take the risk, you can't take the risk. And again, whenever conventional wisdom is out there, you got to go the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so, makes me think about it. I'm sorry, go ahead, James. I'll take the next one.
All right, well, if you think about it, American Idol as an entity has also benefited from the same kind of thinking because they were shopped to the now defunct UPN. UPN turned it down.
For American Idol?
Yeah.
Yes, UPN turned American Idol down, even though it was doing so well. As across the pond, and that it was a verified product. UPN turned it down. Fox snatched it up, and it's been a media hit for years.
And what, of course, right. happened to UPN? They ended up being bought by Fox.
Yep. And it's now the CW.
I mean, if they would look back at their own history, look back at season two. Season two, that's one where Ruben started one. His history ran deep in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Season two winner, Clay Aiken, another one, whose history ran deep in the church.
Well, come on, look at the most popular that have been there, all right? Well, with Perry Pickler and Jennifer Hudson, everyone can say that they started... Everyone has said that they started in the church. If you're trying to take Christianity out of American Idol, you lose most of the storyline.
The better singers, the better singers.
And that's, you know,
and
that's
not even better singers, just the storyline. When they cut away to their lives of the contestants, you know, and they ask them, well, where did you get your start? When they're doing the interviews, you lose all that. Well, I can't say now.
You know, it's funny that you say that because, you know, look at the way that they went over and over again about Whitney Houston's humble beginnings in the church. You know, mm-hmm. the fact is that when I think about this, and you just really sparked something in me, James, when you said that. And JC, I'll promise I'll let you go next. But what really sparked me in what you just said was about the whole starting in church thing. Think about the producers of American Idol. They're missing one key component. This isn't England Idol, where the show started. This is American Idol. And the producers are guys like this, Nigel, whatever his name is. These guys are from over the pond, so to speak. And they don't even understand American values. The American value system, that here in this country, a lot of people got their singing start in the church, and it is a fabric of song in this country. That's where a lot of these people learned to sing, where they got their singing chops, singing in the choir. And by not recognizing that and not understanding that, this is why they've always gotten it wrong. And they've got it wrong here. JC, what did you want to say?
No, I was going to say, I was going to go back to season two, what I was talking about earlier. One person that was on season two, he came into fourth place, a kid named Josh Grayson. He was a Marine.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first, huge story that they had on the Marine who was going to be deported, and They saved him some time from being deported so he can compete on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He went on to do country and gospel, and he's huge at that contemporary gospel, not, you know, Christian music, I should say. But he's huge on the country circuit as well as that contemporary gospel.
It's amazing that a lot of the, and I look at, you know, you talked about Ruben Studdard. You know, when they make this comment in Newsbusters about Adam Lambert, Adam Lambert came out on the show and said he was gay. He came in second place. You look at Clay Aiken, who's recently come out in the last couple of years that he's gay. He lost to Ruben Studdard. And I think that the reason why Clay Aiken lost is because there was always that sort of innuendo that he was homosexual. For a guy like Ruben Studdard, the reason why he came from Alabama, for crying out loud, the Bible Belt. And he won. Even though he was going into an R&B scene that was dominated by skinny dancers. You know, you had Trey Songz coming up, you know, from the rear, pardon the pun, and I don't mean that in any
Usher.
You had Usher, who had Confessions out that year, which was huge. Chris Brown coming around the corner. Mario was out. All these kids were skinny and young.
Omarion,
right.
That whole B2K scene.
Right. Marcus Houston, you know, and all those other guys. All those kids were skinny dancer types. There was no way that Ruben Studdard was going to survive in that medium, being an overweight R&B singer. By the way, a year, if not just a year before, the deaths of Luther Vandross and Barry White, who are the most famed heavyweight R&B singers to date.
Well, they were considered more crooners, and Ruben was sort of out.
He had crooning ability. I mean, the only thing he really did was making it fashionable for big guys to be sexy again. I thank him.
Yeah, but in a medium that was embracing a lot, a medium when
a
I
lot
say
of R&B dance type songs.
Exactly, exactly. Usher really, really. I mean, Confessions.
Put a nail in his coffin.
He put a nail in the coffin of anybody who's going to come out there with some Freddie Jackson, Jeffrey Osborne type song. It wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, there was no more Can You Woo Woo Woo.
Yeah, that was over. That was over.
If you dance, dance, dance.
Well, I'd be damned if he wasn't sorry for 2004, because that was a monster hit. But, like I said, he made big boys popular again. Every woman wanted his velvet teddy bear.
I think it was fad at best.
Oh well, yeah, it passed.
it passed real fast. Also, the same thing I think for Fantasia, and Fantasia was another. Fantasia was another, you know, gospel background singer. And who did she beat out? She beat out, you know, I don't even know the girl's name anymore, the girl that she beat out. And Fantasia, you know, came from a gospel and Christian background. So, you know, this whole rhetoric about how this young man talking about his Christian faith is going to hurt him in some way is a joke.
But the thing is, you know, when you said earlier, you know, you sort of tossed it off, but especially nowadays, right after the football season and Tim Tebow,
right,
where they're still talking about his faith and how it pertains to him, it is in the public eye. It is a hot topic.
Right.
Why would you think that, you know, it's not going to go over well? It seems like you're just out of touch.
Right, exactly. And I think that these guys are out of touch because they don't know. These guys are the producers of this popular show who know nothing about the country that they're quote-unquote, you know, a part of. This is American Idol. Are they missing the whole thing? It's American Idol. And therefore, it brings in so much about what the American ideal is. There are Christian values here. It's a Christian nation, like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can talk about it's just the singing competition and nothing about faith plays a role, but that's such bogusness. It's such bull crap.
Yeah. Well, I'm really over the whole British invasion now anyway, the new British invasion now anyway. It's just, you know, every show has to have somebody with an English accent. Every movie has to have an English actor. It's just, you know, Hollywood has just gone so across the pond. It's like, good God, and
well,
enough.
Because over here, our actors are stale. I like Idris Elba. I like Tandy Newton. I'm not really into the music.
That's a great point, JC. But what it is that we've become a country that doesn't even celebrate being one. It's like we have a medium that hates its culture so much, it's trying to adapt and embrace other cultures, as if that. That's a norm. It shouldn't be. We should be able to embrace who it is that we are as American people, and that should not be something that we, you know, we a survey came out last year that the, I mean, not last year, last week, that 2 weeks ago, I should say, that Americans are the worst tourists. And who voted in this survey? Americans. This self-hatred is a downer. It's just a downer. I'm stunned by it. But, you know, I guess that's just the state of the union. I guess it's the only way to look at it. It's the only way I can think about it. Anyway, all right, we'll take a break. When we come back, there's another story. This Coney 2012, somebody's been arrested. We'll talk about it when we get back. It's Reese on the Radio. Right where you are, don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Trying a brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue, super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale.
Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th.
New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward. Participation may vary.
I tried a lot of cars, Ford Pinto, the Pontiac Fiero, but the Volt was the first car that truly got me excited and looking into the prospect of buying American again. Yeah, I've heard they're catching on fire in some cases, but I found that the fire really helps me get to my destination faster for fear of my life. Also, people really move out of the way when giant hunks of metal are hurtling towards them. Probably the one thing that sold me on the car. I'm really proud of what GM has been able to accomplish by working with the Obama administration. They've proven that in America, you can make it in any business. As long as you have unlimited financial resources and the backing of the United States government. I don't know about you, but I think that's more than worth the couple $100,000 it costs taxpayers every time somebody buys one of these suckers. I'm sorry, do you smell something?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and I know you've got an opinion.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to News Busted. I'm Jody Miller. Let's get started. Comedian Bill Maher tweeted that by not accepting Rush Limbaugh's apology to Sandra Fluck, liberals make themselves look bad. So good news, misogynists. The next time you use crude profanities to denigrate women, Bill Maher's got your back. Energy Secretary Stephen Chu testified before Congress that he does not own a car. Apparently, he curbs his carbon footprint the old-fashioned way. He makes someone else drive. Last week, the late Andrew Breitbart's websites released video of Barack Obama promoting radical views. That's right. It was video of Obama's 2012 State of the Union speech. After someone fainted at one of his speeches last week, President Obama said that happens all the time at his speeches. Yeah, but that's just when they look across the street and they see the high gas prices. MSNBC is under fire for allowing Al Sharpton to hold a Democrat political rally on air. Oh, come on. Lighten up, critics. MSNBC is a Democratic political rally. One of Warren Buffett's companies owes the government $300 million in unpaid taxes. So that's why Buffett doesn't mind higher taxes on the rich. He's not going to pay them anyway. The TLC network has canceled its reality show, All American Muslim. As expected, President Obama immediately apologized to all American Muslims. And finally, Pat Robertson announced last week that he believes the government should legalize marijuana. Well, yeah, it's in the Bible, chapter 420, Book of Mary Jane. Thanks for watching Newsbus, everybody. I'm Jody Miller. Be sure to subscribe to our videos on YouTube, and we'll catch you next time.
Hi, Bill Maher here. Sarah Palin agreed to do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb f***s,
it's not because they have breasts, it's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way. And I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million.
Sarah Palin, the strange family of inbred weirdos.
Levi, over and over until a baby fell out.
The Maverick and the Milk. They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cut. That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb f***s,
this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin's trip to New York City. Number 2, bought makeup at Bloomingdale's, updated her slutty flight attendant look.
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the 7th inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
To send a message to all our young people, I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb twats,
Maher decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost.
He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million. I made a contribution to Obama's Super PAC.
This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration. I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
We're back at Reese on the Radio, 54 minutes after the hour. Just about 6 minutes before. I was going to get into the next story, but I'm going to wait until the next hour to get into this. Because I don't know whether or not you folks know this about me as a host of radio. I always wait
I always wait. It's not for the, for me, it's not because I'm waiting because I, you know, I can't speculate and I just can't give it an opinion. I can, trust me, I can give an opinion right off the fly. I could have given this opinion a week ago. But I don't always jump to conclusions. I'm not a knee-jerk liberal. I don't knee-jerk react to anything. Let me give you an example before I, because I'm only going to tease it before we go to a quick break and then we can start the top of the hour. Let me give you an example. And I want to bring the guys in to this because I'm sure that they remember this story. Anybody remember this guy named Ted Williams, who was the homeless guy who had the golden voice? Anybody remember that? Yeah, he had a sign on the side of the road. He was homeless, and all the news reporters heard his voice and was like, "Wow, this guy's got like a great radio voice."
He now works for Entertainment Tonight.
Right, and they found out that he used to be in radio. Right.
Right.
Went and got him a gig. Now everybody was talking about him, and the Today Show had him on, and people were talking about. They were louding, "Oh, he's got a great voice. Oh man, he's." Then he found out his background. He used to be in radio, and it turns out he left his wife and his children, and it was his wife who had actually gone. His ex-wife had gone through all this work to get people to notice him and to recognize him. They did all of this stuff, and the media went crazy. And he was on all of these TV shows. And then the story broke that he was in a hotel room, in an expensive hotel room, and got into an argument with his daughter because he was upstairs in the mini bar getting hammered, getting wasted. And he was partying in a whole nine yards. He was back on top. And then he ended up having to go on rehab, and then he ended up on Dr. Phil, and Dr. Phil came in and gave him a intervention or whatever it was. I didn't jump on board. I waited. Everybody called me and emailed me. Reese, what do you think about this guy, man? He's very similar to your story. How the hell is he similar to my story? You know, he lost everything, and he was out of shape. He ain't similar to my story. How was he similar to my story? But you gotta applaud. Now, what do I gotta applaud him for? I think you're wrong. I'm gonna wait on this story. And then the story broke. And now nobody's talking about him. Because he was just a bum. I'm not hating. Okay, I'm hating a little bit. But he's a bum. Ran out on his damn wife and kids. Bum ass bum. So when everybody was talking about this story about the movie that's received 77 million views. You guys know what I'm talking about? Come on, JC, you know what I'm talking about. You guys don't know what I'm talking about?
The Obama movie? I didn't catch that one.
The Obama movie?
No, 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 no. The movie about the Africans, you know, where the kids are being forced to join an army. Coney, 2012.
Yeah.
It's the movie getting all the attention. All the kids are talking about it. 77 million views on YouTube. But we'll take a break. And see, this is the reason why I don't jump on board. When you find out that everybody's jumping on board, again, this goes right back to what I said I learned from Rush Limbaugh. When you hear conventional wisdom, go the other way. Go the other way. Because when you find out what happened to one of the co-founders of the Coney 2012 movie, you're going to be astonished. Astonished. I promise you, it's that bad. Oh, hell, it's really that bad. We'll be back. It's Reese on the Radio.
Today does mark the beginning of the end.
The most sweeping economic recovery package in history. The package is the right size. It is the right scope. It has the right priorities to create 3 to 4 million jobs. The federal government is the only entity left with the resources to jolt our economy back into life. 3.5 million jobs over the next 2 years.
Look at me. The stimulus is working.
Meaning 8 out of every 10 stimulus dollars for wind power have gone to foreign companies.
Not even a good junk bond.
Unemployment is still very high.
It appears that 1.2 million people dropped out of the labor force in 1 month.
Well, I'm not going to say the recession is over until the unemployment rate is down to normal levels, certainly in the 5% range.
Did knew the cars would be assembled in Denver.
The FBI raided bankrupt Solyndra.
Jobs in China.
$700,000 to create joke-telling software.
I didn't overpromise.
Shovel Ready was not as shovel ready as we expected.
The Republican National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times.
Then grab it!
Mary had a little lamb in white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese.
It's Reese on the Radio. We're back 2 minutes after the hour on this, your Friday. That's right, Friday night dance party night. Right here on Reese on the Radio. Did I say it was March the 16th, 2012? Anyway, okay, whatever. So, when I heard this story about Coney 2012, I heard everybody talking about it. Now, of course, Coney 2012 is this movie talking about this guy, John Coney, who was in Africa. And in Africa, he is an overlord in Uganda. He is the LRA leader. And I want to get the name of an LRA. It's like some sort of liberation religious army, something like that. And I want to get the LRA thing right. But anyway, the leader whose fighting tactic involves kidnapping and torturing the country's innocent children. So we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. In fact, JC, you're going to have to join in on me on this conversation because you had some background on this, and I refused to even talk about the story, if you remember, when you brought it up, because I said, I'm not going there yet. Because my problem was is if they were talking about sending American troops over there, they would have to fight children. And I said, what do they want us to do? Yeah, we'll bring attention to it, but what do they want us to do? JC, do you remember that? Okay, he's not there. Anyway, I'm sure he'll join in a second.
I'm here. I'm here. For some reason, it takes a second for me to jump in.
Oh, okay.
But yeah,
but you remember that.
I was trying to get you to talk about it.
You were trying to get me to talk about it, and I refused, right?
Yeah,
because
you did.
I was reluctant, right?
Yes, you were.
And why? And I said why I was reluctant, because people didn't have an answer as to what it is that they wanted people to do. And break down the whole story of Coney 2012, if you can. As succinct as you possibly could, what's the breakdown? So John Coney is this leader of this Ugandan military.
It was a military group, a freedom group.
Right.
It was the Lord's Resistant Army, the LRA stands for. And what they were there to do was to initially fight off those who were trying to overthrow the government over there in the country's civil war. As it turns out, over time, he supposedly or allegedly had become a rogue leader himself, where he would kidnap the children. And the young men he would turn into the soldiers of the army, and the young women he would deal with them in prostitution-like and offer them to some of the young men and some of the older men of the LRA as prizes and gifts for sexual favors.
So this movie comes out, and it went viral. It's now reached over 77 million views. Right?
Yes.
And the co-founder of this produced video is a gentleman by the name of Jason Russell. And again, he has been criticized first and foremost to steal an opening by our good friend Kool-Aid Man James Montgomery. First and foremost, he was dragged into a controversy that said, what was he doing with the donations that he was getting for this Kony 2012 campaign? And it turned out that only a third of the money was going to the actual effort to help these children. And another third was going to administrative costs, and another third is going to the whole movement. Then comes this story. The co-founder for Invisible Children was detained in Pacific Beach yesterday for being drunk in public, according to the San Diego Police Department. Jason Russell, 33 years old, was allegedly found in public vandalizing cars, possibly under the influence of something, according to the San Diego Police Department. He was detained at the intersection of Ingram Street and Riviera Road. But that's not the only thing Jason Russell was doing. And San Diego Police Department spokesman said that Jason Russell was detained for acting very strange, some may say bizarre, because he was walking around in his underwear, took his underwear off, and began masturbating in public. That's right. Masturbating in public. Due to the nature of the detention, he was not arrested, according to Lieutenant Andra Brown. During the evaluation, we learned we probably needed to take him to a medical facility because of the statements he was saying. Police say that they received several calls Thursday at 11:30 a.m., 11:30, of a man in various stages of undress running through traffic and screaming. Police described Russell as in his underwear. He allegedly took off his underwear at one point, but it was back on by the time officers arrived. Several people attempted to calm him down, and when officers arrived, they said he was cooperative. He was no problem for the police department, however. During the evaluation, we learned that we probably needed to take care of him. We determined that medical treatment was better a course of action than an arrest. Russell was taken to a medical center after the incident. Police could not determine that he formed a criminal, that he performed any criminal intent. There were no criminal charges pending because it looks like it's more of a medical situation. They released a statement at 1:40 p.m. on Friday saying, quote, Jason Russell was unfortunately hospitalized yesterday, suffering from exhaustion, dehydration, and malnutrition. He is now receiving medical care and is focused on getting better. The past 2 weeks have taken severe emotional toll on all of us, Jason especially. And that toll manifested itself in an unfortunate incident yesterday. Jason's passion and his work have done so much to help so many, and we are devastated to see him dealing with this personal health issue. We will always love and support Jason and we will ask that you give his entire family privacy during this difficult time. Russell is one of the founders responsible for the Kony 2012 video that recently went viral. He is described on the organization's website as the co-founder and our grand storyteller and dreamer. Russell is also described as a Christian and a father of two who works to have nine more children with his wife he calls his best friend of 23 years. Exhaustion, folks? Really?
Maybe.
Let me tell you something, folks. When I'm exhausted and I'm malnourished, last thing I feel like doing is masturbating. James, does this in any way seem odd to you?
The whole incident is odd, but I'm not sure where you were going with this. You prefaced this by, you know, you were holding off on the Kony 2012 story. And you prefaced this like, you know, and now you heard this story, like the other shoe dropped. I don't see how one has to do with the other.
Oh, come on, man. This guy is bogus. He is a weirdo. This guy is nothing more than a hack job. He is a weirdo.
So does that mean that the subject... I'm still not getting where you're going with this.
There's nowhere to go. This guy is a weirdo. I don't believe anything he says. I don't believe anything he does. I think this Kony 2012 is propaganda.
Propaganda. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's propaganda. I think this is the propagandist. I think he's a propagandist, and I think this is another effort by some leftist weirdo who likes to touch himself in public running around in underwear. That's what I think.
Wow. Wow. You, man.
Yes, he was probably high. He was taking a third of the money.
Wait a minute. Now, as you said before, you can't make that. You can't prove it. All that, even the cops themselves said it wasn't a criminal thing. It was more a medical thing. They never alluded to what the medical thing was. No one said anything. You don't know anything yet.
Wait. Malnourished and exhausted and dehydrated, my man?
Yeah, I know. Those are the new buzzwords for
what?
Yeah, right now.
What?
I can't say.
Yeah, cocaine is a hell of a drug, Mary said. Yeah. Come on, James.
But that still doesn't take away from the subject matter. Now, say what you want about him. You still can't equate what he went through to the subject matter.
I don't trust this story further than I can throw it.
Okay.
Come on, man.
All right. Well, look, all I know is there was a whole lot of other people involved in that story. Not all of them were out there getting buck wild, emphasis on the buck.
Come on, man.
Wild. But I'm still holding off on the fact, yeah, if he gets high and on his own supply, he doesn't know when to quit, when to stop. That still doesn't take away from the story. It just takes away from him.
Oh, okay, but I mean, he's the guy behind it. Come on. He's one of the co-founders of this whole movement.
Co-founder, not the only.
It doesn't matter. He's the one that's doing all the press.
Well, he's getting a lot of press now.
Clearly.
I mean, next week you're going to be saying that this whole thing was more propaganda. You know, the story was petering out, and he wanted to do something to bring attention to himself. You see conspiracies like everywhere.
I don't see conspiracies. That's not what I'm seeing here. What I'm seeing here is that the guy's a hoax. He's a fraud. He's probably some coke-sniffing maniac. That's what I think he is.
Well, you know, there have been a lot of legitimate coke-sniffing maniacs.
I don't know any.
you've heard about them. A lot of geniuses were high pretty much all the time.
Come on, JC, help me out here. Come on. This guy seems a little quirky to me. Doesn't he seem quirky to you? Where the hell is this guy?
I don't know. He's had some huge lag. So
I think he's somewhere around. It's just for me. This is just bogus. I don't believe one word of it. This Coney 2012 thing has got to end. All these people donating money to support his alleged drug habit while he runs around in his underwear touching himself inappropriately in San Diego. Take that garbage up to San Francisco where they appreciate that kind of humor. Okay? It's a couple of months until trade, man, in your honor. All right? Get north of the state. You know, they don't mind weirdos running around with coke on their nose, allegedly. In their bloomers.
Come on, the country doesn't mind you that at all. I mean, look, you know, I think this is going to actually help him in some way. Because, you know, you got to hit rock bottom, and, you know, they love to build you up so they can tear you down so they can build you back up again. I don't know. Again, he'll be rewarded for the bad behavior. He'll come out and he'll give some half-assed apology. He'll go into some equally half-assed rehab. And people will forget.
Here's an interesting quote by Russell. Quote, there are hundreds and thousands. He's talking about his organization for this Coney 2012 movie. He says, there are hundreds and thousands of propaganda, posters, stickers, buttons, T-shirts that we are putting in boxes and are shipping all over the world. He used the word propaganda?
Well, I mean, if you're putting out your message, you can. Bottom line, if you put out a message, any type of message, any way, you can legitimately call it propaganda.
Yeah, propaganda is a pejorative, my friend. It's a pejorative. Propaganda? Anyway, at the Invisible Children headquarters in San Diego, and this is the town where the place is, volunteers and employees have been told not to comment. Workers removed a Coney 2012 sign in the lobby, and a security guard is at the entrance of the check-in area. There's something going on at this place. Come on.
There's now, that's – I didn't hear that. I can say that, we need to wait and see, but I'm not seeing it just yet.
Trust me when I tell you, my man. Trust me when I tell you. There's something rotten in Denmark. And Denmark, I mean San Diego. There's something rotten going on.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure the man has had some type of evidence that this was going on if it's gotten so many views. All right, have you actually seen the clip or the movie?
Won't watch it.
So then how can you say anything about, you know, the veracity of it? If you
I don't care. Because I don't care. I don't watch anything I don't care about.
Okay. So
I don't care if those kids got guns in their hands. Just don't come into my neighborhood.
So if it turns out to be true, you still don't care.
I don't care. It's Africa. It means nothing to me. Until they start strapping bombs to their underwear and flying on planes to Detroit, I don't give a damn about them.
Well, if this is allowed to go on, don't you think there's going to be a natural progression? If these kids are allowed to grow up in that situation, don't you feel that it's just fostering the next big despot?
I'm trying to figure out where I'm supposed to care.
Because sooner or later, it's going to hit home.
What do you mean, hit home? Here?
Oh, yeah. He's going to gather that army just to stay in his own little pond?
That's right. He better stay there because he knows he's what's coming for him if he's trying to bring that garbage over here.
That's well, why wouldn't you nip it in the bud now? Before you get to the
I ain't nipping nothing in the bud. I don't care about that. That's Africa.
Hey.
You should know me better than that.
All too well.
Listen, man, you destroy your whole movement when you run around and your tidy whities touching yourself in inappropriate ways.
Right, and as I said, I happen to agree. You know, it's sort of like what I feel about what's his name, the Reverend Al. You put him involved, but sooner or later, whether the story is true or not, it's just you discredit yourself, and now he's just put his whole movement back.
You're absolutely right. I don't care. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about George Clooney in handcuffs. Streets on the Radio. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question, which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Resona Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we are back 27 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. The number is 347-308-8701. And as we mentioned, we're pushing the show back 8 o'clock starting Monday. Just to make it just, you know, whatever. It's just a revamping of the show. Same show. Do things the way that we always do them. We are going to, of course, start doing Thursday a little more entertainment. Seems like the crew loves the entertainment news. I don't know what that's about. JC needs a venue to talk about the Housewives of Atlanta and love and hip-hop and every other garbage African-American reality show. Anything on BET. So he wants to be a part of that. So I'll bear with them, sort of give them some stuff that they want to talk about. I will make fun of it, of course.
Regurgitainment.
Regurgitainment? Is that what you called it?
That's what we're going to call it, regurgitainment.
That's actually pretty good. So, yeah, so we'll do, you know, some of that stuff. Thursday will be our entertainment. We'll put in a little bit of news, of course, and some, you know, pop culture and that kind of stuff, you know, current event stuff. We'll do that. But of course, I think entertainment works. It's fun. Sometimes it's pretty entertaining. I actually caught myself going on TMZ.com today. Don't even get me started. Speaking of entertainment, not so much that I found it entertaining, as much as I found, like, the press, sometimes the press embarrasses me. It embarrasses themselves, even more so, because they don't really embarrass me. They embarrass themselves. Because George Clooney was arrested today. I don't know if anybody knows it or even cares. But George Clooney was arrested today in front of the Sudanese embassy in Washington, D.C. And he refused to leave, and, you know, they put the plastic cuffs on him, hauled him off to jail. And, you know, I know a lot of people are applauding him because, you know, he's out there and he's putting himself on the line, protesting what's happening in the Sudan. You know, that's great. You know, he's a good guy. I'm not one of those Clooney haters. He's good looking. That's why you hate him. No, I know he's good looking. He's a very attractive man. Very attractive man. He is living the life. He's got a new girlfriend every 3 to 6 months. You know, he's dating Stacey Keibler. The legs never end on that broad. She's beautiful. Seems charismatic. I've never heard her complete a sentence, but I don't care.
She wrestles?
She used to wrestle. Like I said, I've never heard the woman repeat complete a full sentence. She does a lot of hi, hello, how you doing. I guess if you can constitute that as an actual sentence, but whatever. But he's living the life. She knows she's got a life expectancy as far as relationship goes. She's got a due date. Be 6 months down the line, George will probably walk up to her and say, "Hey, Stacy, pack your stuff." I don't know how that goes on, but I'm pretty sure he's the kind of guy that could do that. And she just turns around and goes, "Okay, George." And she's out. Whatever. And then all of the tabloids will clamor around her. So what was it like? What was it like? It's like a ride at the amusement park. Like George Clooney for, you know, you ever notice that? Like they clamor around his ex-broads. You know, like they want to know what it was like to ride the King of Ka. You know? What was it like? Where did he take you? Was he a good lover? It's like, you ever notice that? It was like she just went off into space. What was it like on planet George Clooney? You know what I mean? So it's just a little, that's why I say the press is kind of embarrassed. They embarrass themselves.
I'm waiting on his first gerbil story.
I hope that doesn't happen. But anyway, he was arrested today. And, you know, when the chief Washington correspondent John Carl from ABC News is outside the jail where George Clooney was processed and then paid bail. When that guy is there to meet with him, not somebody like, what's her name from Good Morning America? Tara, she used to be on an ABC affiliate in New York, whatever. But it wasn't some entertainment reporter out there. We don't need the lead Washington correspondent out there to talk to George Clooney and then ask him stupid questions. What was the jail like? Did they feed you bologna and cheese? You're nothing more than a fluff reporter. And that's the reason why I was kind of offended that this was news. But again, and again, this isn't a slight on George Clooney. I understand why he's out there, and he really believes in what he believes in, and that's great. And I understand that he's a liberal. I know he loves President Obama. I'm cool with that. You know, I've got nothing against the guy. I've found nothing to hate on George Clooney about. Nothing to hate on him about. When he believes in something, he stands for it. He doesn't throw firebombs at other people who disagree with him. You know, he's a straight shooter. His politics, although I don't agree with them, he's the kind of guy that I can respect, and I do. And I respect the guy. And all that, being a good-looking guy, he's a charismatic bachelor. He's a good actor. I'll give him that. He's a good actor. I watched him I watched him in Ides of March. I thought he was amazing in that. You know, and I love what it is he does. You know, the politics aside, I think he's a good guy. So he was arrested, and I know people thought I was going to hate on the guy. I can't. I can't. I like him. I really do. So he was one of several protesters who were arrested outside of the Sudanese embassy in Washington, D.C. today. The video showed Clooney smiling. And he got arrested with his 78-year-old father, Nick. And they were arrested by park police at the embassy. The pair were handcuffed. Well, they weren't really handcuffed. Well, they put in those plastic things. A lot of other people who were there were very reputable people. U.S. Representative Jim Moran of Virginia, Jim McGovern of Massachusetts, former Rep. Tom Andrews of Massachusetts, Martin Luther King III of the NAACP, and that cornball Negro, Ben Jealous. That man I hate. But moving on. The group had planned a protest to draw attention to the Sudanese leader Omar al-Bashir's rocket attacks on his people in the Nuba mountain region. And he said, quote, "We want the Sudanese government in Khartoum to stop randomly killing its own innocent men, women, and children." And he said, "Stop raping them and stop starving them." And that's a damn good cause. And, you know, again, I commend the guy. I appreciate what it is he's doing because it's a smart thing, you know, for him. And you don't see a lot of actors. A lot of actors do that crap, you know, behind a camera with a script in front of them. And they don't go out there and put their asses on the line. So, again, good for you, George Clooney. You'll never, ever get any guff out of me. And I root for a guy like you. So, boy, did that sound sappy.
Sure did.
Almost
sounds like you were in love with
him. Get on my knees and praise him. Anyway, so, you know, that was it. A lot of trades going on. I heard Derek Fisher is out of L.A. Trades going on in the NBA. Derek Fisher is gone from the Knicks. That struck me as odd. Trade deadline happened yesterday. Or today, actually, was a trade deadline. A lot of guys are gone. I don't even want to get into that. I'm just waiting for the end of the season and getting to the playoffs. Because all this regular basketball stuff, I'm not interested in. I'm ready for the playoffs. I want to see how well these teams do. I got a lot of, for me personally, I've got a lot of interest in the NBA Finals. The NBA playoffs and of course into the finals. So I'm really, really interested in that. So that'll happen. And you know, when that does happen, don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, like I told you before, some things going on and some changes in the programming here at Reason Radio. Should I get an opinion of these guys on what I said about George Clooney? Cause I almost feel like these guys want to rag on me. James, do you think I'm sucking up to George Clooney?
I don't know about sucking up to George Clooney. I know you're sucking the air out of the room.
Oh, hell with you. What's that supposed to mean? It's my show, damn it. It's my job to suck up the wind in the room.
Oh, man, I was just... am I still awake?
Oh, you're
no,
you're hurting my feelings. You're hurting my feelings.
Did you actually admit to having some?
Ooh, now that's just mean. That's just me. So, come on. You have to agree with me, right? I mean, George Clooney is a good guy, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, sure. I mean, you know, on the surface. But, you know, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Oh, so you think I'm going
to
bash him later?
Yeah.
You waiting for me to bash him later?
No, I'm just saying, you know, as you said earlier, I'm, you know... conventional wisdom, if that's your conventional wisdom, I'm going the other way.
No, when I say conventional wisdom, what I mean when everybody
agrees. Oh, please, you don't need to explain it to me, God.
I'm just saying, I am not conventional wisdom. I have my own brain. I'm a critical thinker.
Alrighty. Okay.
Unlike Kool-Aid drinkers. Anyway, like I said before, don't forget, folks.
You know what time it is. It's time for the Friday Night Dance Party.
Friday Night Dance Party is coming to you
today, this Friday. And it's brought to you by my favorite sponsor. It's brought to you by my favorite sponsor, Mama Bear Brewery. And there's only one person who knows what I'm talking about. Just one. And one of my favorite groups, not so long ago, they've since disbanded, is a group called Little Brother. They are my favorite group, I think, of all time. And they came out in about 2003. And their music has inspired me on levels that you wouldn't even understand, because I think their writing and their, I want to say their choice of music blend and singing and just all of it is just so, I don't know, what's the best way to put it? I can't use the word innovative, because other groups have done this before. Groups like The Far Side have done this before. But what I like about them is that the fact that they're from the South, they're from North Carolina, and they have such an original hip-hop feel about them, and a real, authentic New York kind of hip-hop feel, which is really why I appreciate them.
Hey, do you recall, I don't mean to cut you off, but do you recall Young C from Your Friends List?
No, why does that not ring a bell?
You said the guy that we're mutual friends. Young C, you wanted him to call in about the sneakers?
Oh, is he there?
No. He used to produce for them.
Oh, really? Oh, Young
yes.
C, that's right. He used to produce Little Brother?
Yes.
Oh, you got to get him on the phone. Are you kidding me? They're one of my favorite groups.
Yeah, he used to produce
for them. I'd love to talk to any member of them. If I can get in touch with, if not Big Pooh, Fonte, or even Ninth Wonder, if he can get me on the air with them, I would totally, if he could get them on the air, please send out that invitation for me, JC.
Gotcha. I didn't realize that was one of your favorite groups. Because, yeah,
are you kidding me? I'm dedicating the entire Friday night dance party to them tonight. So let him know that I'm dedicating that to them, and please let them know I have a great respect for them. I know they've disbanded, but I still love what it is that they do. Fonte is one of my favorite MCs, very underground, but one of my favorite MCs of all time. I think he's brilliant. I like Big Pooh. I love Big Pooh's delivery, and Ninth Wonder, an excellent producer. So I just wanted to make sure that, I mean, I wanted to show them some respect, because I've been really, really sort of re-engaging in their music. So without further ado, we'll end the show. We will see you guys on Monday at 8 p.m., new time, new show, Reese on the Radio, 8 o'clock, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And you know what? You know what time it is.
You know what time it is. It's time for the Friday night. Where you at? Yeah. Rapper. JT. Fonte, another little brother presentation. Come on, spinning the south across the nation. I'm a hell of a problem, nobody has the answer. Prove you spread it out like a body of cancer. My stanza, get it going like a car. Usher in a new era like this, y'all. I'm raw, stripped down, no minerals. A distilled MC, no chemicals, no subliminals. A smooth criminal before the rape charge. I shake it, bake, bring terror to your squad. My pen's ferocious, I'm so focused. And I pray to God that the world knows this. It exposes flaws in your scheme, dog. Me and Dilla go hard. My lord, you don't want no problems. I'm a nigga that'll solve them. Without a doubt, yeah, I'm in the booth cold, knocking niggas out. Tell my tales by word of mouth. Yeah, you know me.
When the sun goes down and the lights in the city get low. When your beats ain't around and there ain't no place to go. When the hood start watching and the boys got their eye on your face. Ain't nowhere to run and it ain't no hide.
Don't play at me the jokes. strangle the air in your throat like you jump from a chair and choke in midair from a rope. Got a big gun and carry your scope to flare in the smoke. Keep niggas quiet like words librarians spoke. I'm arrogant, outlandish. Blow your face out and shake out the dandruff. The jakes won't make out the handprints. I'm as real as it gets when it's still in the clip. Fuck and make niggas duck and kneel into split. It gets no realer than this. This saying L's eye dropping that definitive shit. This should have been a double album commemorative disc. Cause hip hop might need us. And in your town, no telling where you might see us. A whole team coming through in T's and white beaters. Out doing the damn thing like Beavis. Yo, it's B to the H, yo. I finished the job. Plus my Dominican broad making me chili con queso. Working, planning perfect verse. Diverse like a person. A jerk from a circus candidate. Land to the earth. It's me on the song feature. Your fleet breathing is strong. It's a gypsy reading the palm with a drawn heater. Never gone off the wrong reefer. A bong chief of the dawn. Ball as long as the bronze sneakers. Got waves of a sucky. Think I won't come and get you. Dressed like a Bowman pistol. And AKs in the butter. They is blazing and lovely cause I'm bored with the gang. So I sat back, chill, drop on exchange. And a lot of rap niggas got lost. Heard fine tickets carrying tunes in the gloom. He done got soft. They didn't understand it was my next direction. So I'm playing postman and addressing questions like, yes, I'm still an LP. No, I'm not leaving. No, I don't eat meat, but yes, I'm still beefing. But all these whack niggas putting records out. This is all live, nigga, check it out. LBS, still a fam on a mission. And I ain't worried about niggas biting this for sure. They still teasing off the listener. Come on. For your mind, let's get it. When the sun goes down and the lights in the city get low. LB and that filler, come on. When your beats ain't around and there ain't no place to go. On the 919 to 311. When the hood start watching and the boys got their eye on his face. From North Carolina to the third grade. Ain't nowhere to run and there ain't no hide to play. Come on.
world is like a cornfield. All these ears be stalking a nigga, hanging on my every word and syllable like the finest of herbs and minerals. And they talking like they're filling you the plans and original, the place unhabitual. The shit compared to mine, we'll see who remember you.
Come on.
Back on the block like the great Q.
I rhyme till they hate you and fans wonder why they overrate you.
Steady sinking fast and your niggas wasn't faithful.
Betrayed you, but my fam is tighter than night streams. The crew versus LB night stream. I'm bitching niggas like Joe Jackson and Katie for ice cream. It's time to make moves and start taking off. I write so my thoughts won't be unchanneled. It's like a nigga with the cable off. And this is food for thought. Get a plate, yeah, yeah, finish out your table.
Y'all, wait, y'all, wait, y'all, wait, y'all, wait, y'all.
Hey, baby, look here. I got this new song I wrote. It's got that nice slow groove that everybody's dancing to. And when I play it, it kind of reminds me of me and you, you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's one more thing I want to talk to you about. Now, look, it's time for you to come home, okay? Look, everybody got their problems. I'm dealing with mine. I done gave up that narcotic, man. I'm a changed man.
How many ways can I say I'm done fishing? You wanted the role, smash the audition. Having a partner for a man in my position eliminates the cooks in the kitchen. Still, I got a taste for that fast food, foreign cars, many women. And some say it's the life I was given. I say it don't matter if I work at Mickey D's. I still got a fix for what you got between your knees on the new broad. You still one to one. Every once and again, I like having some fun. No disrespect intended, but what's done is done. Women stepping out for love, won't do what to come. Not a player like Hun. But when shorties get to grabbing on me, the last thought I get is Scooby Run. To them girls wishing on the star that's real stunned. But I gotta tell it like it is, hun. One.
She say she love me, won't be me, won't ever let me go. But if you're thinking of leaving, you need to let me know. We better together than further apart. So darling, don't go breaking my heart. Yeah. She say she love me, won't be me, won't ever let me go. But if you're thinking about leaving, you need to let me know. We better together than further apart. So darling, don't go breaking my heart. We was high school sweethearts. Talking since we were teens, every morning and every evening. 10 years later, she eating that lean cuisine. I'm on the field, straight drawn off that creatine. In the NFL, which means not for long. City to city, all the groupies, they hop for long. Word gets back to wifey, she like, stop the song. I'm taking the kids to my mama's, I'm out, I'm gone, whoa. Mama was like, baby, now I hate to see your tears. But I've been with your daddy for about 35 years. And in my day, I had to turn a blind eye to cheating. But I ain't never had to wear no black eyes from beating. As long as he's doing right by you and the kids. How you gonna expect that man not to be who he is? I ain't saying that it's right, but we often pay the price. Cause a woman's life is love, a man's love is life. And he gonna live it to the fullest. And I ain't trying to pull you down or sound like a broken record. But you should know by now that all niggas is dogs. Better to have a rich pit than a broke German shepherd.
She say she love me, won't leave me, won't ever let me go. But if you're thinking of leaving, you need to let me know. We better together than further apart. So darling, don't go breaking my heart.
She say she love me, won't leave me, won't ever let me go. But if you're thinking of leaving, you need to let me know. We better together than further apart. So darling, don't go breaking my heart.
Word up, I say I don't have nothing if I don't have you. Like Sade, we got to see this taboo. And my game is skin deep, like the first tattoo. I get all in your head just like shampoo. I just wanna fuck with you like rude police. Cause I don't want a broken heart because I lose the peace. Hey, girl, don't play with my gangster. And have the boy blue like the Texas Ranger. And I know Jesus never gets crowned. So I play fair like roller coasters and clowns. You gotta hold your soldier down, even when the war is looking like it is right around the corner. And you don't wanna leave me, believe me, cause I can turn you on like a personal TV. It's Young Weezy, I know what you thought, but I'm just here to play my part, so
don't go breaking my heart.
If you love me, won't leave me, won't ever let me go. But if you think about leaving, you need to let me know. We better together than further apart, so darling, don't go breaking my heart.
She say she love me, won't leave me, won't ever let me go. But if you're thinking of leaving, you need to let me know. We better together than further apart. So darling, don't go breaking my heart.
You know what time it is. It's time for the Friday Night Dance Party.
Let me put you on to something, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm tired of these girls, you know what I'm saying? They trying to play a nigga for the herb, you know what I'm saying? They want to be all up in the videos and shit, you know what I'm saying? You know this one shit. Let me tell you what I told you. We need to sit down, me and you have a chit chat. Let's talk about friends and define that. Let's talk about us, never mind that. Let's talk about trust with your mind at. So you looking for a man, won't find that. Had a good thing here, let's rewind facts. Believe me, I know all about the mother cats. How they all play the game just to get to you. Spitting all in my ear what you like too. Tickle your fancy, who you would invite to. Be yours, I pair verses, quote verses, with purpose. So nervous, I wrote urgent, I spoke shy, you spoke lie, we spoke by. Up into the chair, when I saw you, you saw me, we walked on by, till you found out I MC. Now you on me like,
yo, 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 that I'm talking about, the ones that y'all be seeing at the coffee house. Soon as they get the mic, I start walking out, and swear that they feel the most talk about. It's time to bring the MCs on. I'm sick of niggas looking bitch trying to read porn. They try to battle me with sandals and capris on. Come on, dog, I'm about to get hyped with this, shed some light to this so-called black righteousness. Even though y'all niggas might not cuss like me, end of the night, y'all just trying to fuck like me. So what's the reason for the hating? Niggas with dreads calling themselves God, with white girls named Caitlyn. And I'm cool with interracial dating, but I ain't about to hear no fucking speeches, cause I wanna have some bacon. I rock and swerve, that's why I can't fuck with coffee houses, man. Get off my goddamn nerves, and deep down y'all know that I'm right. Man, shit, I'm about to kick some trick daddy next poetry night. Like, my black queen don't know nine, nigga. Yo, 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 yeah, 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 yo, 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 yeah, 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 yo, yo. Niggas wanna come on my face, mad cause I'm making moves and they running in place. And my face like, yo, 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 yeah, yeah, yo, 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 yeah, yeah, yo, yo. Niggas wanna come in my face, fuck that tofu, I need a pork chop on my plate. Like this, nigga, this, nigga, this, nigga.
This is the Kool-Aid.
On the radio for this week, folks. I hope you enjoyed. We will be back 8 p.m. on Monday. So stick around. I hope you're there. And again, this Friday Night Dance Party is brought to you by Mama Bear Beverages. Mama Bear Beverages. One drink and you're hooked. Thank you guys for joining us as always, and we appreciate it. Thank you for always joining Reese on the Radio. Tell your friends. We're trying to build this up as best as we can, and we appreciate your support. As I always say, as corny as it may sound, radio is free, so we thank you for paying attention. It's Reese on the Radio. For JC, the producer, for Kool-Aid Man James Montgomery, and for Mary, while you're bugging, I'm Reese on the Radio. We love you. See you next week, 8 o'clock.